And now for something completely different.
You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. Thank you for joining us here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego. Our number here is toll-free, 866-577-2473. That's toll-free to reach the show at 866-577-2473. But my guess is you're probably out somewhere in your car trying to find a parking space in the shopping mall. Well, you've got 2 hours to listen to us while you're waiting for that space to open up. And you can always reach the show and David Spoon in a number of different ways. Email davidspoon at kprz.com or find his Facebook page by typing in the David Spoon Experience. You can like it, make a comment, share the post. He puts some interesting things on to get you thinking every day, and I'd encourage you to go to his Facebook page. You can also find David on Twitter, at Spoon Experience. It's great to be with you this afternoon. We've got a couple of hours to spend as we talk about Christmas is coming up. I had the experience this morning, had to pull into one of those big stores, into the gas station to fill up my car with some gas, and the lines were long, and the people were a little crazy in the driving. And because I was going to be here, I knew I needed to be boastful about how gracious I had been. So I paused and allowed someone to merge in front of me. I thought he was going to pass out. No, he just waved, and I realized, wow, it's kind of a little stressful out there. So we're just going to settle in here. Talk about Christ, because that is the important part of Christmas. We've been encouraged on K-Praise, the keeping Christ in Christmas, and I know that there are a few years ago, we used to use the phrase, the reason for the season. Some of those phrases kind of come up and grow on us for a while, and so that's an important thing to do, and we certainly want to do that today on the show. We've got a number of things we're going to do today. We're going to have a guest on talking about special needs ministry. Special needs adults, maybe you have someone in your family that is special needs. Maybe you've got some people in your church. Not a lot of churches have a ministry like this, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I know I have a friend that has a brother, and every holiday season she's able to bring her brother and spend some time with him, and that's a really great ministry that she has. We're also going to talk about Christmas traditions from around the world. My ministry, Whitefields Ministry, you can find us at whitefields.org. And you can also call 760-846-8610. My ministry is involved in supporting national church planters in other countries around the world. We're in Japan, the Philippines, and in Myanmar and Burma. And we're also in a number of African countries and South America. So Christmas, to us, takes on a lot of flavor from all around the world. So we're going to share some of those traditions from around the world. And some of you are listening are from other places in the world. Some of you might be from Middle Eastern countries or a country like Japan or Myanmar, where very few people are actually Christians. In Japan, less than 1% of the people there are Christians. And so the whole culture just does not vibrate with the views of Christmas. There's not Christmas trees and Christmas lights and Christmas celebrations going on. And it's a little different for them. So some of you might be here, either immigrated to our country or you've grown up here, lived here, and you're from those countries. And you know what that's like. And our ministry supports pastors in those countries, trying to serve in those kinds of places where there are very few Christians. So we're going to talk about some of the traditions from around the world, different things that are going on. And then we're also in this hour, we're going to have a special engagement with a missionary, Adoniram Judson. Now, those of you that know who Adoniram is know that we're not going to have him live on the air today, but you're going to have to hang on to hear from him. And we are actually going to hear from him. We're going to hear from his heart and what he did, and so we'll be hearing some things from him. But I thought we'd start by just taking a look at some insights from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We talk about keeping Christ in Christmas, and we ask the question, what does Christmas mean to you? And wherever you might be in your spiritual walk and your spiritual life, Luke chapter 2 really is the place that lays out for us a very interesting introduction of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being born a human baby. It was a promise, really, that was made back in Genesis to Adam and Eve that there would be a seed, an offspring of the woman. We even say that that was a prediction, a prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus. But it is in Luke chapter 2 that we read in verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, I have a friend who's an English professor, and I grant him some credit. He went on a rant on Facebook. Just said, I got to get this off my chest. Hey, people, can you stop saying that Jesus was born in a manger? Okay, let's get technical here for just a second. Yeah, the manger was that little feeding trough that was placed in some kind of a stable. It might have been a cave. We don't really know what the setting there was. But Jesus was born, and then he was wrapped in swaddling cloths, and they laid him in the manger because that was, they didn't have a crib. There was no bassinet. There was no pristine, clean, precious place to lay him. And as I was looking at this, I actually had a privilege to preach at a church back in Nashville, Tennessee, the first Sunday of December. God seems to be opening up some amazing doors and opportunity with new friends back in the Birmingham, Alabama. One of our board members is the president of Southeastern Bible College, and just up the road from that is Nashville, and a group of people there have engaged with us to get involved in supporting a pastor working with the Sudanese refugees in Kenya and Uganda. And then we've got some friends up in Kentucky, just a few hours north of that, and I was there preaching, and I had the privilege to just share this text. And as I was doing that, I was looking at that, and I thought, Jesus, the Son of God, born and then wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. And I began to meditate on that, and I thought, what an unassuming introduction of deity in the world. And that is the way God tends to be. You have to think about this a little bit. God does not, on a regular basis, just kind of blow us away. He doesn't come into the world and make broadcast announcements. But in this particular case, Jesus was being born, and it's the very unassuming nature in which he was not being born in a palace or in a castle. He's being born in a stable, not a manger. He was laid in the manger. Very humble surroundings. And as I began to think about that, especially in the course of my ministry that's involved very much in evangelism and taking the gospel around the world and trying to help pastors start churches in very poor places, I thought, that's really what it's like. Very unassuming. God doesn't just blow into the doors and say, I'm going to show you, there's going to be this huge transformation. Instead, it's often very humble beginnings. And that's what Jesus was doing here. But the Apostle Paul faced the exact same thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he shared that, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. You see, because here's the way it is. When starting a church, or maybe in your church, you're trying to reach your neighborhood for Christ right here in El Cajon, La Jolla, San Diego, Imperial Beach, Chula Vista, San Marcos, Escondido, wherever you might be listening, and you're trying to reach people for Christ, and yet they look at you like you're really strange. And it could cause you to lose heart. The Apostle Paul goes on. He says, what we have renounced, disgraceful, underhanded ways, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You see, what we as believers in Jesus Christ, and maybe some of you in the next couple of days, are going to be embracing family members that have not come to faith in Jesus Christ yet, and they don't understand your Christianity. They don't understand why you believe in Jesus, why you believe in God, why you are so committed to going to church, and you've maybe given up practices and things in your life that were sin, and you no longer do those things. You try to change, and your life has been transformed. And to them, they look at that, and they just don't understand it. And you look at them, and you think, well, somehow my faith in Jesus is veiled to you. It's like you don't see it. Paul goes on to say that in this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. But you know what's really exciting? Is that in the course of that unassuming birth where Jesus became God in flesh, his glory was actually seen. It's an amazing story when we recognize that God had placed even Mary and Joseph in a very awkward position. You know, Mary was found in pregnancy before the completion and the betrothal to Joseph had been fulfilled, and that becomes a very awkward position. It's very probable that the inn, that word there, is actually a word for the upper room. It was probably the guest room in some extended family member of Joseph. They didn't have Motel 6s back in Israel's day. But they found themselves completely destitute and left alone, awkward, out in a sheep stall, a cow stall, a barnyard area, some kind of a cave, some kind of a stable, something where the animals were at. And that's where the Son of God was to be born. But the eyes of faith can see the glory of Jesus even when it's hidden. And so we don't want to lose heart. When you face difficulties in trying to share the gospel with family members or with people that haven't come to faith, don't lose heart. God wants you to depend on him. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. When we come back, we're going to look a little more at Luke's Gospel, Chapter 2. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name. The David Spoon Experience continues on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's too controversial. Better clean it up a bit.
The holiday season.
Perfect.
Nah, you boys are fired.
What?
Phil Robertson here of Duck Dynasty. Hey, folks, Christmas is my favorite time of year, even ahead of duck hunting season. Because Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, God becoming flesh. Miss Kay and I took it upon ourselves to write the Quintessential Field Guide, exploring the joy of Christmas with Advent meditations, family memories, and misfires, even Christmas carols. At $9.99, it's about the price of your yuppie coffee. Pick up a copy for you, your family, hey, even your enemies. It's the ultimate stocking stuffer, new from Regnery Publishing.
Phil and Miss Kay Robertson's new book, Exploring the Joy of Christmas, is available now at Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, and wherever quality books are sold.
CrazyPriceMall.com introduces our Super Savings Gift Guide, just in time for Christmas. Get special price items to clean and prepare your home for the holiday gatherings with friends and family. Healthy Family carpet cleaning for two rooms, hallway for $55, or three rooms, hallway for $75. Interior and exterior window cleaning for up to 2,000 home square feet, $69.99. Moving during the holidays? Save on moving costs with a two-person crew, all packing materials, and 3 hours of moving services from Packing Bees for only $156. Looking for a babysitter, nanny, senior or post-surgical caregiver, household assistant, or housekeeper? Crunch Care Nanny and Domestic Services is offering an annual full-value Club Care membership for just $699. All deals are half the retail price. Hire your cleaning crew and domestic services with our Super Savings Gift Guide on CrazyPriceMall.com. Certificates print on demand. Check it out today.
There are more people who celebrate Christmas each year than there are people who know why Jesus was born in the first place. To understand the answer to that, we can do no better than take the words of the angels who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's the answer. Savior. The angels didn't say leader or example or benefactor or healer, though Jesus was all of those. They said Savior. If we celebrate the coming into the world of a Savior, what we should also be celebrating at Christmas is the salvation that He brought. This is David Jeremiah, and that is the Christmas story on Route 66.
Driving the word home this Christmas on Route 66. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You can find our ministry, Whitefields Ministry, at whitefields.org. We support national pastors starting new churches in their own countries, and it's a great privilege to be with you here today on the David Spoon Experience. We've been sharing a little bit about Christmas and what Christmas means to you, and sharing from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Our first insight that we were looking at was the unassuming nature of deity, how humbly Jesus came into the world. And sometimes we face that same thing with family members that don't understand why we are a Christian, why we have exercised faith, and encourage you not to lose heart in those situations, because you become a person who's letting the light shine in the midst of darkness. That's exactly where God wants you to be, and He wants you to depend on Him. The second principle that I'd love to share with you is found in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. I love the way God gives us mental and visual images of His wonderful truths. Now, my first experience of the idea of shepherds was back when I was around 5 or 6 years old in church. I grew up right here in IB down south San Diego area there, a little Baptist church, and we had our Christmas concert, and yep, you guessed it, all the 5 and 6 year old boys were required to be shepherds, and that included having to wear our pajamas and our bathrobe onto stage. And I don't know why, but I did not want to do that, even to the point that I still remember this pretty well. I was stuck off into the side, this little room. It was the little furnace room that was kind of off to the left of the main auditorium there, and my dad was called in. Now, my dad was a chief warrant officer in the Navy. He was in the Pacific Fleet in World War II, and he tended to be pretty much straightforward with, this is the rules, this is the rank, and you need to buck up and get out here and do this. But for some reason, he was called in, and he was pretty merciful to me that day. He just sensed that I did not want to walk out there in my pajamas, and so I was given the reprieve from that. But that kind of puts an image in our mind that those shepherds were just these cute little boys in these little bathrobes. But that's not really what shepherds were in the day of Jesus. In fact, these were the nighttime shepherds. They were considered the poorest, the lowest economic standards, and shepherds received absolutely no respect from the rest of the people in the society. In fact, so low on the totem pole were they that they were not even allowed to be a witness in a court case. If there was some kind of a trial being brought and a shepherd had been a witness to it, we're told by historians and commentators that shepherds were not allowed to even be a witness. And these, by the way, were not the daytime shepherds. I'm just assuming here that daytime shepherds would be the top rank and they get to go sleep at night. These were the nighttime shepherds. And yet it is that God esteemed them worthy to receive the good news that his son had been born. I just consider that to be very unlikely first worshipers. And yet it gives to me such great hope. Last December, I was traveling through the country of Myanmar, and I was able to preach to them that God does not consider people according to their wealth or their status or their country of origin or who they are ethnically. I was able to share with them that in the very beginning, at the birth of his son, God sent the angels to share the good news with the lowest of the low, the shepherds who are out watching their people. That also, by the way, should give you encouragement to know that if God is going to use you to share the gospel with your family or your friends, you don't have to be some high-level, educated, super special person. God used the shepherds, and in the end of this, we find that they're the ones that go out and begin sharing the message. There's also a third point there in verse 9. We see who it was that shared that message. That was the angels. Now, God usually uses people. And so these are unusual announcers. At the birth of his son, God sent angels to announce the birth of his son. Now, God can use anybody to deliver his message. And over the course of the Bible, we find that God at one point used a donkey to speak to a prophet who was not doing well. We also find that God is not contained in stone or woods, but he's the creator of the universe. And in Psalm 19, it shares that God can expose the world to the gospel, not to the gospel specifically, but to the existence of God by the very creation. And even when Jesus, during the triumphal entry, the people were crying out, "Hosanna," and some of the Pharisees said, "You need to tell your people to stop calling out Hosanna." And Jesus said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And so when I look at that, I realize what a marvelous privilege we have of being called by God to go out and deliver the message of the good news. And at this point in this story, in Luke chapter 2, we see that God used the angels, the highest of created beings, to deliver the message that his son had been born to the lowest of people. And we need to recognize that God can use every single one of us to do that. We also find within that something that's really great news. I don't know where you are at. There might be some people listening to this radio broadcast right now who are in prison for some reasons. Maybe you are in a down and out position, and I know we're coming into the holidays, and sometimes that can be a really devastating kind of a situation. It's not encouraging to you. It's discouraging, and you can get very discouraged in those times. But the reality here is as God delivers this message to the shepherds, it's an unlimited scope of the announcement, because as the angels speak to the shepherds, they say, "We bring you good news of great joy for all the people." And that great news and good joy is that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And I was at a conference a few years back, and it was a place where a lot of conservative evangelical Christian parents had gathered, and a young man walked up to me, and He looked like he had had a hard life. He was tattooed. There were scars. He just looked far beyond the ages. And he came up to me and he called me by name and he said, "Do you remember me?" And I honestly said, I'm sorry. It must have been a long time ago. He said, yeah, we were in high school together. Now, this was a good 25 years removed. And he began to tell me who he was. And I said, you know, I don't ever remember seeing you at high school when you weren't high. And he said, there was very few days when I wasn't high, when I actually showed up to school. I said, what happened to you? He says, well, you know the evil and rotten things I was doing. I eventually ended up in prison. He said, I should have died a dozen times over. But he says, while I was in prison, someone shared the gospel with me, and I am now a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. He was married to his girlfriend. They had three children. He was now being a godly father to those kids and a godly husband. And God was completely transforming his life. That's the unlimited scope of the announcement that a Savior has been born. What great news that is. And that is really what we are celebrating at this time of Christmas. We're realizing that God could bring into the world his precious son. There's one last thing I want to share with you, and that's somebody who was not at that birth, and that is the person of Satan. What a vulnerable time when Jesus was a baby. God reveals to the shepherds in a very momentous and glorious way, very publicly, and yet Satan is nowhere to be seen. He's blocked from the knowledge, and eventually he gets involved in the trying to thwart the plan of God. But in every step of the way, God overcomes that, and he ends up victorious and completely overcoming Satan's plan to thwart God's redemption of man. And that's encouraging to me. As I look at that, I realize that God is capable and able to bring us to where we need to be. And so as you're involved with family this Christmas, I want to encourage you with the words of a hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," because it's in that hymn that we read that God is a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. But you know what? God can overcome that element of Satan. He cannot harm us. You serve a great and mighty God. So as you get involved in Christmas this year, know that God is on your side. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. When we come back, we're going to have some engagement with Adoniram Judson. Don't go anywhere. You don't have to worry, cause baby,
stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Maranatha Christian Schools, one of San Diego's premier private schools, is growing, and we want to invite you to be a part of it. Come tour our campus on Fridays. No appointments necessary. Our friendly admission staff will be ready to show you our beautiful campus as they tell you about our excellent academics, sports, and arts programs. Plus, you'll learn how we integrate the biblical worldview into our curriculum. As you visit, you'll be able to see inside our classrooms and have a chance to experience our school's environment. Many have said, I truly feel like I'm standing on holy ground. This is where I want my children to go to school. We are serious about what we do, and we have worked hard to provide an environment that fosters creativity, excellence, and community involvement. We're ready for you and your students. Check us out online at MaranathaChristianSchools.org. That's MaranathaChristianSchools.org, or call 858-759-9737. That's 858-759-9737.
Wow! In addition to being experts at new roof construction, old roof repairs, remodeling and maintenance, did you know that Excalibur Roofing is also an expert in waterproofing? That's right. No water allowed. Sorry, Rubber Ducky. From using the top-of-the-line Life Deck systems for deck coating to flat or sloping roofs, Excalibur Roofing covers the angles. Get it? With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded in roofing classifications, plus testimonials from people just like you, you can count on Excalibur Roofing. Roofing. Call 760-743-8803. That number again, 760-743-8803. Or go online to their website at excaliberroofing.com. The best part of all their estimates are free. Just give them a call. What have you got to lose? But leaks, not onions. 760-743-8803. For residential or commercial help, remember, Excalibur Roofing. They've got you covered.
God's gift to a dying world is the life-giving Savior.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Joe Stoll. Like most children, Joe thoroughly enjoyed Christmas. With great anticipation, he would snoop under the tree to see what toys and games awaited his eager grasp. So he felt deflated when he started getting things like shirts and pants. Grown-up gifts were no fun. Then last Christmas, Joe's kids gave him some cool socks with bright colors and designs. He almost felt young again. Even grown-ups could wear these socks, as the label reassured him, "One size fits all." That welcome phrase, "one size fits all," reminds Joe of the best gift of Christmas, the good news that Jesus is for everyone. The point was proven when the first invitation sent by angel choirs was to shepherds on the bottom rung of the social ladder. The news was underscored further when the VIPs, the wealthy and powerful magi, followed the star to come and worship the Christ child. After Jesus began his ministry, an influential member of the Jewish ruling council came to him at night. In the course of their conversation, Jesus invited whoever believes to come to him. The simple act of faith in Christ grants eternal life to those who trust in him. If Jesus were just for the poor and marginalized, or only for the famous and fortunate, many of us would not qualify. But Christ is for everyone, regardless of status, financial situation, or social standing. He is the only gift truly fit for all. Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Living this life. From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. This is the David Spoon Experience, and I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. We'd love for you to go take a look at our website, read some of the stories about pastors. And I'm not certified to give you a weather report, and I know we are here in San Diego, but I am looking out the window. Might be a little confusing for some of you because there are clouds in the sky. Now, I have learned not to complain about the weather to my friends that live in Alberta or British Columbia, Canada, or my friends in Minnesota. We just heard on the news that people in Tennessee and Mississippi, they're having tornadoes back there. And well, here in California, we complain if the temperature drops into the 50s. And there were some sprinkles on my car when I was driving in this morning. I wasn't sure if I was actually in San Diego or not, but sure enough, I did show up right here at the studios of KPRZ in San Diego. So I know that's where we're at, and wherever you are, we hope that the weather treats you well and that you have a great Christmas. I told you we were going to have a little engagement with an interview, as it were, with Adoniram Judson. You might wonder, why am I pointing and looking at Adoniram Judson, and how would I have an interview with him? Well, one of the ways to interview someone of the faith, and for those of you that are unfamiliar with him, he lived in the 1800s. Adoniram Judson was the very first missionary from the New England area, America, the very first missionary from America. And he went to the country of Burma. Now, it was very difficult to go in those days. And last December, and the reason that this all kind of comes to fruition right here during this December season is because last December, my ministry, I was traveling in that very same country of Burma. Now, today, the name is Myanmar, but you don't usually hear it called Myanmar in our news. They still use the word Burma. So I'm just going to use Burma today, but if you look on a map, you'll look for either Myanmar or for Burma. It's over there nestled into Asia around India and China and Thailand. A beautiful, beautiful country, just a gorgeous place. And I was there last December. And during that time, I was reading a simple biography of Adoniram Judson. It was a biography that we read to our kids when they were growing up. And it's a great series, Adoniram Judson, Bound for Burma in the Christian Heroes series, then and now, written by Janet and Jeff Benge, or B-E-N-G-E. And we read this entire series to our children growing up. It's available from YWAM. You can check Amazon or some places if you've got kids or you just want to read some encouraging stories about missionary heroes. This is the place to do it. But in December of 1817, and I was reading this chapter while I was there in Burma last December in 2014, Adoniram Judson decided to travel to an island out of Burma, a place called Chittagong, for the purpose of bringing some Burmese Christians back. And here's why. After he had gotten to Burma, he had began to learn the language. That was the first step that he had to do. And it was a very difficult language. There was no written language. He had to write a dictionary. He wrote his own grammar so that he could begin to understand. He eventually began to translate portions of the Bible into Burmese. But it was in the middle of several years of being there that in December, on December 1st, 1817, Adoniram was about halfway through his early morning walk around Rangoon, kind of some of the same places that I was walking around. And he stopped dead in the middle of a muddy street. And he said to himself, why didn't I think of this before? And he laughed out loud to himself. I love the way that they have written this biography. I just felt like I was right there with him, and he was talking to me when I was sitting there reading this book over coffee in the morning. And he, of course, the answer, Adoniram hurried home to Anne, his wife. The idea was percolating in his head as he walked. Anne, I have the answer. I have the answer. Can you just imagine him walking into that place, talking to Anne, telling her that? Well, as he walked into the courtyard of the mission house, Anne said, to what? The answer to what? Kind of the same thing that my wife would probably say to me. When I'm in one of those trans modes and I'm thinking about something, she has no idea what I've been thinking about. And he says, I have the answer. And this is what was so struck me to the problem of being Burmese and being a Christian. You see, Adoniram had been there for several years and he was sharing the gospel, but none of the people there were willing to believe in Jesus. They said, everything you say sounds very good, but we do not know any Burmese people who are Christians. It's not our religion. It's not our, for our ethnicity, our culture, we can't become Christians. And so it was that he had an answer to the problem. And on Christmas Day, 1817, he decided to board a ship called the Two Brothers. They hoisted sail and they headed off down the Rangoon River, bound for this island place of Chittagong, because he had heard that there were some Burmese people living there that had believed in Jesus Christ and become Christians. The captain assured him that they would only be in Chittagong in about 10 or 12 days. But Adoniram became violently ill, and that was another thing that missionaries faced. It was very difficult. It was hard for them. And so by the end of the second day, the Two Brothers was being lashed by strong headwinds. The captain visited Adoniram, his sole passenger, and explained, it's going to take us a little longer. Well, that was an understatement. They kept going in this storm. They got lost. The captain didn't know how to sail this wooden sailing vessel in these kind of storms. And it eventually became the end of February. So December, Christmas Day, all the way through January, what should have been about a 10-day journey has now come to the end of February, and the situation on board was desperate. There was no food or water left, and the only way to get it any was to beg it from some of the few native boats that might venture out into that portion of the Indian Ocean. You can see how desperate things begin to get. Well, it doesn't get better. Eventually, they get to the place where they were lucky to be able to have just a cup of water and a spoonful of moldy rice. This is a desperate situation for someone who was so extremely dedicated to try to bring the gospel to these people living in the country of Burma. Well, finally, 3 months to the day after setting out, so optimistically he was, that boat, that ship, the two brothers, arrived off the coast of Masulipatam, and it was now calm. Adoniram was horribly sick, and he wrote a note hoping that any English resident would read the note and maybe come and get him from the ship. Well, a British army officer, sent some soldiers. They got him. They brought him in. They made him his personal guest. They fed him, got him healthy, and he finally was able to get on another ship. And on August 2nd, 1818, so this is from December 25th, Christmas Day, all the way till August 2nd, 1818, Adoniram finally stood on a deck of a ship and watched happily as the pilot of the boat slipped through the mouth of the Rangoon River on its way to back to his homeland, his adopted place. His happiness, however, was short-lived because the pilot of the boat had some disturbing news for Adoniram. As far as he was aware, the mission in Rangoon that Adoniram had been involved with was broken up, the house destroyed. He didn't know anything more. The pilot had no other news. He had just gotten that news. And so the trip up the Rangoon River seemed agonizingly slow to Adoniram. Now, you have to keep this in mind because I'm reading this while I'm in Burma last December, and it was my wife's birthday. Now, she had given me a special privilege to be there over her birthday so that I could do ministry among our many pastors. And I wanted to send a text message to her, but we had been up in the mountains for a day and a half, 2 days, and there was no reception. I could not get any text messages out. So just keep that in mind. Because when he finally got to that place, his wife met him. And we're going to share that when we come back from this break. So hang in there because we're going to finish that story, and I'm going to bring it right into the contemporary of what's happening in Burma in 2015. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon, and you are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
National and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ 1210 AM KPRZ.
The food, the fun, the fellowship, the frenzy. What makes Christmas special to you?
Hi, my name is Jordan. I'm the traffic director at KPRZ and KCBQ. One of my favorite Christmas memories was this time my grandmother bought us early Christmas presents. They were ugly pajamas, and they were pretty ugly the first year, and my sister ended up crying because of how ugly they were. She was about 15 at the time. Ever since then, on Christmas Eve, we open up a present, and they're always some sort of ugly pajamas.
Noah Dingley, producer here at KPRZ, KCBQ. A couple of Christmas things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for being able to get together with my family, throwing wrapping paper at them, and I'm also very thankful for my kids.
Merry Christmas! San Diego.
This is Dale Hendry. It's Christmas season. What does that mean to a lot of us? Well, we're probably buying presents for our family and friends. But we here at Salem Media Group, we want to make sure we keep Christ in Christmas. What that means to me is it's not about the presents we give one another. It's about the presence of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
When the proper time comes, making the transition to a smaller home or a senior community can be extremely challenging. Where does someone start when dealing with estate sales, relocation, personal inventories, and right-sizing? Allow me to put you in touch with Don Lasico, the owner of Caring Transitions of Carlsbad. Because each person is different and each situation unique, Caring Transitions of Carlsbad doesn't use a one-size-fits-all approach. Each client is given a customized strategy that enables the client to utilize the right services for the best value at the best price. A person's life isn't designed by a cookie cutter. Their transition plan shouldn't be either. Call Don Lasico at 760-509-9198. 760-509-9198. You can also go online to CaringTransitionsCarlsbad.com. Caring Transitions of Carlsbad, a total solution to minimize stress and maximize results.
Chris George, General Manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon. Chris, what does Subaru Mazda of El Cajon mean to you?
I wanted to do business in a town and in a community that I live in. I go to church in, my kids go to school in. We know the teachers, we know the families. So any day you walk in that store, somebody in there knows somebody that goes to church at Foothills or goes to church at Shadow Mountain or Skyline.
Go to Subaru Mazda of El Cajon today and get a free tire rotation, brake inspection, and alignment quick check.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Lord, I am oh, yes, right.
And I think that I know everything.
Sure, no problem.
After all these years and all I thought I'd learned.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. And as I promised, in the next segment, we're going to hear from Steve and Peggy Brucker. They're going to share with us about the special needs ministries. So glad to have them with us, and they're going to be sharing. But I wanted to finish up that story about Burma and Adoniram Judson, because I was over there in Burma last December, and I was reading this chapter in that biography at that time. And I had had just a day and a half, 2 days of being up in the mountains with absolutely no digital connection. We get pretty serious about being able to text and email. So I was reading this chapter, and I realized what Adoniram had done. He had left on Christmas Day on the two brothers' ship. They'd gotten lost, what should have been a 10-day journey, and he was doing all of this so that he could go and bring some Burmese people who had become believers in Jesus Christ. And so he could show to the people that he'd been talking to that there really are Christians, Burmese Christians. You can believe in Jesus. Quite dedicated to trying to show these people that they could indeed exercise faith. They didn't have to stay in their own religion. They could exercise faith in Jesus. Well, when he finally got back, it's August. He's almost died. Period of time, they were doing nothing but drinking one cup of water and eating some moldy rice on that ship. And he had been nursed back to health by a British Army officer when they finally made land in India. And now he's arriving back home. And while he was disappointed to be returning without a single Burmese Christian, the thought paled in comparison to the fears he had for his wife's safety. Because remember, I told you, when they were traveling up the Rangoon River, back to the main area there, the city we now on a map, it's called Yangon, they come to realize that he doesn't know what's happened to his wife. And so tears of joy welled up in his eyes and streamed down his face when he saw Anne standing next to George Huff on the dock. His wife was alive and well. Adoniram rushed down the gangplank as soon as it was lowered. He embraced Anne, and together they began to talk long into the night. Anne insisted that he tell her his story first. They haven't seen each other since Christmas, and now it's August. And she wanted to know where he had been and why he hadn't brought any Burmese Christians back with him. Well, you know, that's amazing. What a dedicated couple they were to be there. Well, you know, the Lord blessed me. I finally discovered that at 2 a.m., I was able to get a text message to go through. The broadband was so slow that all I could put in it was happy birthday. And I thought, what a wimp we are today. We need to look at the Christian heroes. And yet it was when I went out and walked with our pastors, I realized that I am walking with men that are giants, that are heroes, just like Adoniram. And they actually are the spiritual descendants of Adoniram, because he brought the gospel. And now as my ministry allows me to walk around Burma, I'm walking with Burmese and Chin and Kachin people. There's many different nationalities and ethnicities in the country of Myanmar. And they all are believers in Jesus Christ. Now, they're very few. They're still outweighed by a majority of non-Christian people. And yet they're going into very, very dangerous places where there are very few believers. I received a report I wanted to share with you about Whitefields, and you can find these stories at whitefields.org. You can go to our website and look at the ministry. And our field director, Tong Ne Bill, took me, and he travels to visit our pastors and to ensure that they're doing well and how the ministry is progressing. And he gets to hear the testimonies of people that have come to faith. And one of our pastors, Pastor Simon Thang, shared this testimony, and Tong was able to hear. And he shares Christmas greetings to you all. Due to your prayer help, and that is, by the way, what Whitefields is doing, we're combining your partnership, allowing you to be involved in partnership with the pastors, the nationals there. And he writes, one woman, Da Pa Song, a Buddhist, was converted to Christ in the end of November while we were doing home visitation at her house. Her husband was in jail since last year. She shared to us as follows. I've grown up from a mountain area. We shifted to Padan town, and myself and my husband were very strong in Buddhism. We followed all the rules and rites of our religion. But we had met Brother Simon Thang, one of our Whitefields pastors, he is. And he has become like a friend of us. Several times he shared to us about salvation of Jesus. You know what's really great about Simon? Simon was formerly a Buddhist himself. And so he knows how to explain the gospel to these people in a way that they will understand. And so she goes on, this young new believer, Da Pa Song. She says, I praise God that he taught clearly about the gospel of Jesus Christ and his salvation story. So I came to know that no one can get salvation by works or merit, only by believing in Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's a new believer that is there at a place where at one time Adoniram could get no one to believe in Jesus because they didn't see anybody else of their nationality that had become a Christian. One of our other pastors, Pastor Shui, and I was at his church. I wrote a blog on our website called They Threw Rocks. You can go to whitefields.org and read that. He shares as well about a new believer in Jesus Christ. And so the work of Adoniram Judson, the things that he did, it's bearing fruit even today, and we want you to be a part of that. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Don't go away, because when we come back, we've got Steve and Peggy Brucker. They're going to share with us about Beyond Limits Ministry.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.